Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Well, I'm glad that you're here today. As I've already mentioned, take your bulletin today. Pull out that blue insert if you don't mind. This is a great opportunity for you to follow along, take some notes as we kind of dive into this new series that we're jumping into as a part of our Lenten observation, preparing for Easter. You can follow along with that insert. You can get on that YouVersion Bible app and follow along with the scriptures that are there as well as various questions. I've got some quotes that I'm using today in today's sermon also in that Bible app that you can kind of read along as we go through this experience of hearing from God's voice today. Lent is kind of a weird word. I remember 10 years ago, my first season of Lent with you, someone sent to me in the mail a package of dryer lint. Seriously, can't make this stuff up. And the note inside said, "It appears that I wear a lot of gray." That's all the note said, a package of dryer lint. We're not talking about fibers on our clothing. The word Lent is a word that means spring season. Who is not ready for spring? Come on, bring it. We need to see some warmer weather. So we're ready for that. Lent is this word that means spring season. It is a word that the early church identified as the 46 days, 6 weeks leading into Easter. It is a Monday through Saturday observation of preparing our hearts for this incredible season of time. So within those Monday through Saturday dates, it's 40 days long. 40 is kind of a significant number in Scripture. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but it usually means or indicates a period of testing or trial or probation. It is this idea that God is working something within you, preparing you for something great. There are moments of 40 written in Scripture. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights to cause the great flood of Noah's days. Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years, and then he lived also in Midian, shepherding within the wilderness for another 40 years. Moses again was on Mount Sinai for 40 days receiving the law of God. Jonah warned the city of Nineveh for 40 days about the pending doom that was coming their way if they didn't repent. Jesus appeared to his disciples over a 40-day period of time from his resurrection to his ascension. It is also believed that Jesus was in the tomb for 40 hours over the span of 3 days. 40 is written throughout Scripture and seen in history as these moments of preparation. So where we're going to begin our conversation today as we prepare for Easter and go through this season of Lent is a 40-day period of time where Jesus spent that time in the wilderness being tested by Satan. At this point in time, we have seen the amazing circumstances of Jesus' birth. If you're following along in the Gospels, you'll see that we see the amazing circumstances of Jesus' birth. We've seen angels appearing to Mary, announcing her immaculate conception. Angels going to Joseph, encouraging him to take Mary as his wife, and to also tell him to flee to Egypt and then to return to the region of Galilee. We then get this brief glimpse of seeing Jesus as a 12-year-old. I'd like to say that's teenager Jesus. And we see Jesus not listening to his parents and doing what his father, his heavenly father, is telling him to do, staying back in the temple and teaching those there. And now it took the family a few days to realize that Jesus had not caravaned back with them. Can you imagine losing the Son of God? That was a long trip back to Jerusalem for Joseph and Mary. I lose my keys in panic. I cannot imagine that feeling. Then we don't see Jesus for another 18 years. We don't see Jesus until he bursts back onto the scene at the age of 30. I've asked myself, why 30? Why did he wait so long? Culturally speaking, 30 was the age that people believed you became a full man. According to their Jewish law, according to their Jewish teaching, 30 was the age that you became worthy of leadership. So he receives the baptism at that moment from John. I believe probably the only person that John baptized that did not first need to repent, because Jesus, of course, was without sin. And it's in this moment of baptism that we see the Trinity together again. First time in the New Testament. We see the Holy Spirit appears as a dove and descends upon Jesus, and we hear the voice of God the Father announced to all that day, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Is there anything more powerful that we can probably tell our children, parents? You bring me great joy. Is there any more powerful words that we hear as children than from our parents when they say to us, "You bring me great joy"? This is a great moment. This is a family moment. I mean, this is the moment you take pictures and put it in the photo album. This is a great moment, and it's the start of Jesus' ministry where I believe the momentum was strong. If I were the road manager of Jesus, I would be immediately on the phone making other locations and setting other places where we can go. The momentum is crazy good right now. The sinners that had gathered around the Jordan River that day had witnessed the declaration of sonship, and the word was beginning to spread. So I'd say, let's go, Jesus. Let's go to more places. Let's continue to spread this incredible news. But no, I didn't get the road manager gig. And there's probably a good reason. Jesus doesn't go immediately and start to spread the good news. Instead, he finds himself in the wilderness and he'll stay there for 40 days. What does wilderness really look like? What is the wilderness experience? We're going to come back to that wilderness experience of Jesus in just a moment, but for now, I just want to kind of think about what are your wilderness experiences personally? Wilderness is often a very unpleasant place to be in life. Some may struggle to survive from day to day in a wilderness experience because financial, material, physical, and even emotional burdens continue to just clamp down on us. See, we're people that naturally like prosperity, right? That's why the prosperity gospel of our culture is thriving right now, because it's a lot easier message to talk about blessings, but there's power in the wilderness as well. We're driven toward health. We're driven toward easy going. That's probably why we really are attracted to the first few verses of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. If that were the Christian life, man, this church would be packed 4 services a Sunday. Because that's good. The same God who created the green pastures, the same God that created the gentle, still waters, the same God that created the garden created the wilderness as well. So I believe that in this life, we're going to experience trials. We're going to experience pressure. Faith will be tested. Wilderness seasons will come. And they are bewildering. They are lonely. They are exhausting. They are overwhelming. And you know this because some of you are in the middle of one right now. All of us have been in one at some time in our life. They can come with a diagnosis. They may come because of a loss of a loved one. Or they may happen because of a broken relationship. Sometimes they are unannounced and have unknown origins deep within us that drive us into depression and mental negativity. But they are wilderness experiences nonetheless. A challenging season. Some, for whatever reason, seem to find their way in the wilderness more than others, and I wish I understood that. Your wilderness is unique to you. No one else has traveled through the wilderness that you will experience or may be experiencing. And what I know to be true is that it's our natural inclination to want to avoid the wilderness at all costs. It's our natural inclination to get out of the wilderness as fast as possible. But I also have to recognize that as we read Scripture, the biblical authors, inspired by God, suggest that not only are wilderness experiences to be expected, but they are a necessary part of walking with God. Some examples in Scripture include Job. Many believe, historians believe, that Job actually predates Abraham, that his may be the earliest story recorded in the Old Testament. Job was a faithful man, and yet he lost his children, his home, and even his health. We would call that a wilderness experience. We mentioned at the beginning the season that was of testing for Moses as he left Egypt as a 40-year-old and found himself in the wilderness experience before the burning bush. We know of Elijah, this great prophet who went toe-to-toe with King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. One moment he's calling down fire from heaven and slaying prophets of Baal. In the very next moment he's running for his life, wishing he had never been born, sitting under a broom tree, asking God, why am I even here? Wilderness experiences. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, three faithful men in Israel's story that were honestly some of the most faithful people we could ever read about. They faced the wilderness of persecution that led them to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Their friend Daniel faced a similar wilderness experience and got to spend the night among the lions. There are countless stories of God's people experiencing challenging moments. So it leads me to ask a few questions in my heart today. Could it be possible that when we find ourselves in a desolate place, that actually what's taking place is an invitation to be trained for a mission that lies ahead? As I see God's word, it seems that those wilderness experiences were leading these people to a greater mission. Could it be possible that the moments of loneliness and hunger and temptation actually can serve as a furnace that further forges our character with Christ? Could it be possible that the wilderness actually offers us a gift? A gift of distraction-free listening, quietness of contemplation, and rediscovery of God's voice deep inside of us. The most powerful experience in the wilderness found in Scripture, I think, is found in our reading today. If you're reading the Lenten devotional booklet, today's reading would be from Luke chapter 4. I'm going to share it with you from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time, and my favorite phrase of Scripture, and he became hungry. Then, I just don't know why we had to add that. Of course, he became hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the Scriptures say people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The Scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, the highest point on the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Satan is quoting from Psalm 91. Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. God's word is filled with some intriguing moments in time. This moment was not set up by mistake. This moment did not happen because Jesus made a wrong turn coming out of the Jordan River. This moment did not happen because he was just living in a broken world. If we hear the Scriptures clearly, we see that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into this season of wilderness, a season marked not just by his surroundings going into a desolate area, but a season of time also marked by his behavior, because he was fasting. He was not eating during this time. He was seeking the voice of the Father. Now, Luke shares three distinct moments that Jesus is tempted by Satan, but he also says that he was tempted throughout the entire 40-day experience. I have no idea how many times and how many ways Jesus was tempted, but we are aware of these three. Now know this, Satan is not omnipresent. Satan cannot be everywhere. God is omnipresent. Satan is a created being. Therefore, he is limited to time and space, but he chose to be here at this moment to attempt to derail the mission of Christ, which was just now beginning. And he starts by attacking his physical needs. The obvious, you're hungry. And then he moves on to possessions and power. And then he ends the test by working on Jesus' pride. These are not new tests. You and I face these same things. Provision, power, pride. Satan had been using these three tests on the people of God since people began breathing. And he had been succeeding. But when he came to Jesus and he did the same thing, he came up to a pretty formidable foe. Because Jesus now is full of the Spirit and is able to identify the test and successfully navigate this wilderness experience. Jesus didn't come to earth to have a full tummy. He didn't come here to experience people bowing down to him or to perform miracles in order to have fame and fortune. Every fiber of Jesus' life was to do the will of God, his Father, who sent him here. That's why Jesus came. Every fiber of his being desired to do the will of God. So when Satan said, "Turn these stones into bread," Jesus' response was, "You have no idea what drives me, do you?" When Satan said, "Hey, I'm going to give you these kingdoms. You can be the ruler of the earth." Jesus says, "My kingdom transcends this ground." When Satan says, "Perform for us, jump off of this wall," Jesus says, "I came here to die. My purpose was not to perform and become your puppet." In our wilderness experiences, I think we far too often search for solutions that get us out as fast as possible. Any one of these three things that Satan tried to trick Jesus with would have gotten Jesus out of the wilderness very quick. It would have got him back to a more comfortable place. And you and I often will do the same thing. When we find ourselves in challenging moments, when we find ourselves going through dark times, when we find ourselves in the midst of the wilderness, we try to use our logic and our reason to find the exit. What's the quickest exit to get out of this mess? That's what I'm going to choose. God must be in that. But I believe what God might be doing in our wilderness experiences may be something quite different. See, the voice of reason can often trick us to say, "You deserve better." You can do that in our marriages. You can do that in our jobs. You can do that in any corner of our life. "You deserve better." But the voice of God says, "I am forming something better within you." The voice of reason can say, "Satisfy that desire." But the voice of God says, "Only I can satisfy your greatest desires." The voice of reason can say, "No one will know." But the voice of God says, "Know me. Know my word." The voice of reason can say, "Be popular." But the voice of God says, "Be holy." See, the voice of reason and the voice of God are often at odds with one another. So what I think I'm seeing in this wilderness experience recorded in Scripture, especially at this incredibly critical time in the ministry of Jesus, right out of the gate, is that God can lead us to moments of darkness and challenge. And in those moments, we are actually able to best identify the difference between righteousness and selfishness. It's in those darkest moments that sometimes we can most clearly see the difference between God's plan and another plan. It's in the wilderness that we're given the best opportunities to apply God's word into our lives. So I'm going to say something, because of that, I'm going to say something relatively elementary. So I apologize if this sounds offensive. Kind of. But if we believe this, this is a great opportunity for us to apply God's word in our life. Let me say this, we've got to know it to apply it. Not just the verses we like. We've got to know it all in order to apply it. See, Jesus thrived in the wilderness because of his understanding and his knowledge of the truth of God's word. Satan used God's word to try to trick Jesus. Jesus only thrived in the wilderness because he knew God's word better than Satan knew God's word. And I'm telling you, if you want to thrive in your wilderness, that's the place to start. Here's what I believe God is teaching us in this moment. Resisting the reality of the wilderness experience may actually cause you to miss the presence of God along the journey. I have been a person that has always thought, I want to get out of this bad and uncomfortable situation as quick as possible. When Tammy and I are discussing challenges in our life, I'm thinking of solutions. Guys, we barely listen before we're trying to fix, right? This is our natural inclination. But what if God is leading us to these moments so that we can learn to listen and trust just a little bit better? I read a blog by Dina Johnson, who posted this on crosswalk.com. It's a great website of daily devotions. She wrote this, thought it had great application for our text today. As I contemplated my own wilderness experience, I came to realize that the wilderness is God's way of preparing us to do His will, to be used by Him. Without that preparation, we cannot have a true understanding of who we are and who our Savior is. It is in the wilderness that our hearts are purified. It's in the wilderness that we see God's tender mercies caring for us day by day. It's in the wilderness that we find the great I Am, the one who meets our every need at just the right moment. It's in the wilderness that our faith is grown and perfected. All of a sudden, suddenly, I kind of feel like the wilderness might not be all that bad. Maybe the wilderness is where I need to be, where I need to put myself in position, because I want to be purified. I want to see God's tender mercies. I want to see the great I Am. I want to be close to Him. You know, sometimes we enter into these wilderness moments because we do live in a broken world, filled with sin and turmoil, and sometimes it's just unavoidable. But I also believe that there are moments that God leads us into those moments. Either way, no matter who orchestrates the wilderness, no matter how we find ourselves there, I want you to hear this today. God is still there with you. There is no wilderness you will ever find yourself in that you go alone. God is with you in that wilderness. So regardless of the source, God is going to redeem your wilderness experiences. He's going to redeem my wilderness experiences in order to train us, in order to shape us, in order to teach us to recognize His voice, in order to seal our identities in His love. We struggle with our own personal identity a lot. Wilderness experiences can allow us to have our identity sealed in His love. Because with God, time spent in a wasteland of hurt is still never wasted time. James wrote this in his letter to the church, and I thought these were powerful words for us today. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, complain and gripe and tell God to fix it. Some of you are reading along, and you realize I diverted a little bit. It felt better. I like it, but that's not what James wrote. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I don't know about you, I want to be able to complain and be perfect. But this isn't the path of the wilderness. And that is not the path of a follower of Christ. Because my Lord and Savior started His ministry in the wilderness, depending upon His Father for everything. And He spent the next 3 years of His life depending on the voice of God for everything. I feel like I need that too. Are you feeling stuck in your wilderness experiences? I know some of your journeys, and I know some of you have to feel that way, stuck. Perhaps your wilderness is addiction. Perhaps it's the death of someone that is close to you. Maybe it's infertility or betrayal or abuse. We all have different experiences in the wilderness. But I'm asking you today, I'm challenging you to look at God's Word and allow God to draw close to you in that wilderness as you decide to draw close to Him. When we decide to grow close to Him, I believe God will answer your prayers and grow your faith beyond what you could ever imagine if you allow Him to. Wildernesses happen in short bursts of time. Sometimes wildernesses last years. But I believe God is there with you, desiring to make you stronger, desiring to do a good work. So as we journey toward Easter, I'm reminded that the mission of Jesus caused Him an incredible amount of pain and yet cost me nothing. I deserved death, but Jesus took my place. I'm humbled by the sacrifice of the cross, yet I still, after all of these years, cannot grasp it. I wonder today, in a crowd of this size, have you come to Jesus by faith? Have you walked into the wilderness and said, boy, what a great opportunity to consider this joy? Have you journeyed with Jesus by faith? Are you willing to trust His love for you? Have you come to Him seeking forgiveness and redemption and a new start? I want to ask you today, seek Him. Seek Him in truth and genuine trust, because He has redeemed your life. He is holding you up. He is as close as a whisper in your life, ready to hear from you today. The song we're going to sing in response today is one of my favorite hymns. I have a very short list of favorite hymns. I'm just being honest with you. I've got a short list of favorite hymns. This is one of them. I hope and pray that these powerful words as you sing them will become your prayer. That as you proclaim them, they will become your declaration. Among these words, say this: the cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. I'm not sure what you're facing today. I'm not sure what you will face this week or in the days and years that lie ahead of us, but I do know this: you will not journey alone. And maybe, just maybe, there are powerful lessons to learn of hearing from God in deep and meaningful ways in the midst of those challenging moments. Just maybe we ought to not look for the quickest exit out. Maybe we ought to say, God, show me how to consider this pure joy. Show me how You can form me and mold me to be more like You in the midst of this heartache. Maybe God wants to form you into a better version of you, a more holy version of you in the midst of that struggle. Father, as we're confronted with words that are not easy, it is my prayer that your Spirit confirm them in the hearts of all of us here today. Confirm these words of truth. And for those who are going through some challenging moments right now, and I know many are, God, give them the hope and the courage to listen for your voice and to hold on. I pray, God, that you would give them the power and authority to stand on your word, not to be tempted or tested or to be confused, God, but to stand on truth. I pray, Father, for those tests and trials that will come in our future, that we will be able to stand strong because of a decision we make to follow you, to embrace forgiveness and redemption by the death of your Son. Today, God, I pray that you would be our cornerstone, our firm and solid ground, that you would help us through the fiercest drought and the worst of storms. May the height of your love, may the depth of your peace fill us as we proclaim these words together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.